I'm reading out of Galatians 5 today. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. This is the word of the Lord for us.
Hey, did you guys see that there was a big boxing event this weekend with Mike Tyson after like almost 20 years without being in the ring? Did anybody see the fight this weekend? Just out of curiosity, I was curious if any of you guys took that in. And of course, at the weigh-in, that's the before the fight, they go face-to-face. Tyson slapped his opponent after he had stepped on his toe. And apparently, it was really not all that great or thrilling of an event as Iron Mike got defeated. But it always strikes me with the sport of boxing how there's that really edgy trash-talking with your opponent. I mean, I feel like that's a sport in particular that is just face-to-face, nose-to-nose, like this angry and antagonistic. And if you've seen any of the, sometimes they do like press conferences beforehand, I mean, it just almost gets out of control with the insults and the attacks on each other. It's like, you are my enemy. I will destroy you. Remember from was it Rocky IV, Ivan Drago, I must break you. Like, but it's just this, it's this head-to-head conflict. And the reason I mention that is just because the Bible tells us that each and every one of us have a similar conflict happening inside our hearts each and every day. It's a battle against the flesh, a battle against, this is like our sinful nature. This is inherited from Adam with original sin. The Greek word used is sarx, literal definition flesh. In context, it will often mean this sinful nature. Just so we can all be on the same page and understand this, it's why we want to take the last piece of pie. It's why we want to get in the last word. It's why we get jealous when we see our friend's new phone or new shoes or new car. It's why we get so riled up and angry when we feel like someone has disrespected us. When we feel we've been wronged, we start to point fingers. Like the man who sued the airline after they lost his luggage. Sadly, he lost his case. Someone was a little late on that one. So the Greek word sarx, the flesh, it's this sin nature. And it's something that really rages within each and every one of us, that we battle every single day. This flesh within us is what desires what we can taste, what we can see. Like the things that the world had, like right here on planet Earth, it's what drives us to experience those things, to desire those things, to want those things, right? Our flesh tells us it's going to feel really good to give full vent to your anger. And so you tell them off. You tell them off good. You raise your voice. You give them an earful. It's that flesh that says, you're really going to love the euphoria. The flesh that says, you just need a way to relax, to just calm down, and to just chill. This will help you unwind. And so when we give in to those desires, then our flesh leads us into things like substance abuse and pleasure seeking, conflict with others, and for the sake of keeping it PG, depravity. Those desires of the flesh lead us into sinfulness. But what good news! With the help of the Lord, we can choose to yield to Him, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, in which case we are set free from the desires of the flesh. We walk then in victory with Christ. Yes, our flesh is a powerful enemy, but friends, our God is more powerful. And so in Christ, there is freedom over the flesh. There is victory. We are made alive in Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about together this morning. So let me introduce myself. I'm John Reisner. I serve as lead pastor here at MCA. Love Sundays. Glad that you're with us on this one. Thrilled that we're together and praying that your heart and your home grow even stronger in the Lord. So we're going to get into the Word together this morning in Galatians. We're specifically going to be in chapter 5. We've been going through a sermon series in the book of Galatians where the Apostle Paul is writing and he's telling these believers, hey, you're not bound under the law like some of these Judaizers are trying to impose. You are in right standing with God for one reason, faith. Faith in Christ and in the work he's done on the cross. You're in right standing with God, Paul is telling them. Not because of your adherence to the rules and following the guidelines, but because of the faith that you have in Christ. So this would have been really hard. You have to understand this in context. This would have been really hard for a people, for the Jewish people, who grew up with this long list of rules. Because see, they not only had the Old Testament Mosaic Law, we understand that, but they had added to it, like the rabbis and the teachers of the law had added to that. And so they had come up with, these are the laws, but then we're going to add extra laws on top of that. So the law to them was more than just God's sacred word. It was, yep, the Mosaic Law, but also then these other laws that we've imposed. And you have to understand, you grow up with that. This, you got to keep all the rules. You got to follow these laws. I don't think they rightly understood these law, the Mosaic Law, that is, rather. It was actually given to help us see that we can't live up to God's standards. It actually was given so that we realize that we fall short, that we are in need of a Savior, one who will rescue us. And what good news that we have that Savior. That he came, the anointed one, the promised one, Jesus, fully God, fully human, sent into our world, broke into our world. And when Jesus got here, you have to remember that he said that he has not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. So in Christ is fulfilled all of those laws that were meant to point people to Christ and point people to the Lord and their need for him. So, of course, what that means is that we continue to delight in God's law. Absolutely. So, as we study Galatians and understand this truth of we're not bound by the law, actually, we talked about last week how you're actually under a curse if you're under the law. We're set free in Christ. I don't want us to then believe that, therefore, we could just throw this in the trash can. No, absolutely not. We delight in God's law. It's helpful. We want to walk in the ways of God, and his word reveals to us how we do that. It just simply means salvation doesn't come through adherence to this set of rules. Salvation comes through Christ. So your spiritual life, your walk with the Lord, it's about having that healthy heart posture. It's about having the attitude before God that is humble and filled with faith. It's not about the external and what people can see from the outside. So when your heart is right before God, well, Jesus says then your life shines. But when the evil is lived out in your life, what it reveals is that you have a heart and an inner life darkened by sin. And as we get into Galatians 5 this morning, we'll see ruled by the sarks, the flesh, the sinful nature. In fact, I want to share these words of our Lord Jesus from Mark chapter 7. He says, "For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come." This is Mark 7, verses 21 through 23. It is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. He says all of these evils come from inside. So when there's a warning in the New Testament about the sin nature, Jesus has already referred to that in the Gospels, that this is an issue of our heart. It's not just adhering to those rules on the outside where you say, well, I didn't murder anyone and I didn't steal anything and I didn't commit adultery, so I must be in right standing with God. No, that's not it at all. Those things lived out reveal a heart and a life that is being led by the sinful nature. But again, Paul shows up with this message, and for the Jews that were hearing it, I mean, as long as they could remember, it was like, hey, if you want to follow God, you got to live by these rules. And so when the Gentile believers came to faith, it was like, but you have to follow the rules we've been following. You have to do what we've done. I mean, I think in a way it was kind of like, if we had to do this stuff, then you do too. And sometimes we can identify with that, can't we? Like, well, I went through that. You should have to go through that as well. But, again, salvation is through Christ alone, not by keeping the law. So let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Paul is explaining to them, and I'll sort of, in some ways, summarize the first 12 verses for us, and we'll jump in at verse 13 where Renee read for us. But he's telling them, if you're trying to be justified by the law, well, then you're going to be alienated from Christ. Again, that doesn't work. You're under a curse. And he emphasizes freedom in Christ. In fact, let's look together at verse 1. We're in Galatians chapter 5. He says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Think about, just for a moment, Paul's life experience. We know something about his life, don't we? Did you know he was persecuted for his newfound faith? He was persecuted. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. The one who was once so zealous in Judaism, he was persecuting Christians himself. And now he has met Jesus, and he's the one being persecuted, in some cases by his former companions. And you go, well, why is that? It's because he's preaching that you don't have to follow the Old Testament laws. That doesn't make you right with God. You're free in Christ. And so let me ask this morning, does that mean then that we can live however we want? The answer is no. And there's a nuance here that I want to point out to you, that I want to be really clear. Are you free to live however you want? No. But you are free to live however Christ wants. See, it's an issue of spirit versus flesh. Meaning, my life yielded to Christ, I'm free to do as he pleases. My life pursuing the selfish ambitions and living in the flesh, no, I'm not free to pursue those things because those things will be ungodly and sinful. So let's jump into our text this morning at verse 13. We're in Galatians chapter 5. Here's what Paul writes to this group of believers in Galatia. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Did you catch that? You're called to be free, he says, but. Again, there's a nuance here that we need to understand. We preach freedom in Christ, absolutely. And Paul says this, you were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. He says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And then a warning, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So begins the formula, as I'd like to present it and suggest to us this morning, for gaining freedom from the desires of the flesh. We ought to serve others. Paul says, no, you can't just do whatever you want. You can't do whatever you want, yielding to your fleshly desires, doing as you please. Instead, your lives should actually be marked by love and, yes, service to one another. We know this is the second greatest command, right? Jesus told us this. Love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, we talked about it Wednesday night in our Bible study. How do we love our neighbor? We get to know them. We build relationship with them. We get adjacent to them. We love them with our time. We serve one another. And here's the thing. Part of the reason that this is so effective in battle, you know, this battle against our flesh, is that serving others is selfless. It's not self-serving. There's nothing we gain out of it. And so this is really an act, an exercise in crucifying self, which is what Paul tells us in Galatians 2 in verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. He's talking about the flesh here. He's talking about stuff. Because he didn't actually literally go to the cross. So he's talking about this sin nature, this flesh, this sarx, has been crucified with Christ and no longer lives. But Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so as we understand this teaching of this formula, how do we battle against the flesh? How do we have victory, freedom from the desires of the flesh? Is we serve others and we see, oh, that's just what Jesus did for us, isn't it? He gave himself for us. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, Jesus said, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And so here's a good key as we're learning this morning. Like, when you want to remove something from your life, like this battle against the flesh, these desires that rage within us, and we want to get rid of those things, we don't want to pursue those things, you don't just leave it empty. You fill it with something good, something wholesome, something God-honoring, something productive, something helpful, something faithful, something fruitful, something meaningful. Right? So, for example, like, if I struggle with selfishness, and many in the room probably do, if I struggle with selfishness, and it's like, it's kind of a me-centered universe, everything else kind of just revolves around it, then the solution is not simply to repeat to myself, or to write on the chalkboard as they did back in the olden days, I will not be selfish today. 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 That doesn't work. Because you're focusing on the problem. Instead, you replace that with something good, something right, something that the Spirit is leading you to. You say, I'm going to buy someone lunch today. I'm going to help someone in need today. I'm going to pray for someone today. Our church staff experienced this just this week when a member of our congregation served us, literally served us a meal. You say, I'm going to give my spouse a foot rub today. Right? That's the solution. It's not to repeat, I'm not going to be selfish. It's to say, I'm removing selfishness from my heart. That's fleshly. What I'm going to do is, Holy Spirit of God, what would you have me do? Who would you have me serve? And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve in the nursery this week because I just know there are some weary parents who could really use the opportunity to sit under the teaching of God's word. And so I'm going to give of my time to serve them so they can be blessed in that way. And listen, there's a warning here that Paul gives. Like, unless we do this, unless we serve one another in love, unless we strive for unity, we're going to end up destroyed. And this is a biblical truth, that a house divided cannot stand. And so we must serve one another. And listen, we just have no chance of reaching unsaved people and if we're not even loving those within the household of faith. We pretty much have no chance of, we have no witness to the unbelieving world if we can't figure it out within the church to love and serve one another. If I'm not willing to serve people right here in my local church, if I'm not willing to serve people under my own roof. So this morning, as we talk about battling the desires of the flesh, it begins here, and that's the encouragement from Scripture, is to serve others. Let's keep going in this passage. We're in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. Again, we talked about this. This is the battle that rages within each and every one of us. So that, catch this, you are not to do whatever you want. Why would the Bible say over and over and over and over again that we are to be slaves of Christ? It's because our lives are for Him. We turn to Him. Like, I feel like we, in some cases, we've gotten this wrong. That I have encountered and talked to Christian believers, followers of Jesus, who tell me, I have the freedom to live as I please. No, you don't. No, you don't. Well, you do, but you can't be a follower of Jesus. I guess that's the caveat, isn't it? You can't be a follower of Jesus and live as you please. Absolutely not. You are a slave of Christ. So, like, when you say Jesus is Lord from Romans 10, Lord meaning master, boss, ruler, leader, you're the one in charge. I take my orders from you. I obey you, whether I understand it or not. You do not live as you please. If you do, you're going to follow your flesh. You're going to follow that sin nature within you, the desires and, yes, wickedness of your own heart. Have you heard that before in pop culture and Disney movies? Follow your heart. Completely unbiblical. Well, that's just the opposite. You heard that here. What the flesh desires is contrary to what the Spirit desires. What the Spirit desires is contrary to the flesh. So if you're following your heart, you are not following the Spirit of God. You are not walking in obedience to Christ. You are a slave of Christ. You are not free to do as you please. You are free to do as Christ calls you to. But here's the cool part of this. The life He has for you is better than anything you could possibly dream or imagine. So don't say, poor me, pity me, woe is me. I can't do all the fun things that I want to do. I have to follow the boring or the mundane or what Jesus has for me. Like that, please recognize that your life dictated by your fleshly desires equals destruction, death, sorrow, heartache, brokenness, addiction. Your life following Christ, led by the Spirit of God, means hope, means life, means joy, means freedom. He gives you purpose. And that happens when we walk in the Spirit. And God has breathed His Holy Spirit into the believers. Jesus did this. He breathed on His followers, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." If we submit to Him, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Instead, we will seek the Lord. This is another part of the formula for having freedom over the desires of the flesh. We serve others, we seek the Lord. So again, if you want to be in charge of your life, well, that's your prerogative, but you can't then be a follower of Jesus, because a follower of Jesus says He is Lord of our lives. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Our standing in the kingdom of God is determined by who is in charge, who is in control. And so, if you're choosing Jesus, and I hope you do, if you're saying, yes, I want my life to be lived for His purpose, for His glory, then you seek Him. Every day, you seek His face, you listen to Him, you study His Word, you read the Word of God, you meditate on the Word of God, and yes, church family, you commit it to memory. I want to invite you again. We have started this just this year with once a month, we do a Bible memory verse. So for this month, I don't think I have a slide for this. Let's see if I can do it. Do I have a slide for it? Galatians 6:14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You don't just memorize it from hearing it a few times at church, by the way. If you haven't worked on memorizing it, then you probably don't have it memorized. What it means is you got to take some time each day and say, oh, I'm going to work on that Bible memory verse. And you're going to read it, and then you're going to repeat it, and then you're going to close your eyes, and you're going to try to say it. In fact, we've got that included, don't we, Jordan, on our Jam Children's Ministry Wednesday nights do Bible memory, and that's one of the verses they are memorizing. And so I would invite you again, just the power of God's Word downloaded into your heart and mind, do that. Take advantage of that. You will carry that wherever you go. That will help you seek the Lord when you are in those situations where maybe you're tempted to brag or boast, and you're like, I'm not going to boast except in the cross. So this is part of seeking the Lord, is spending time with Him, spending time in His Word, cultivating habits of prayer in your life. When you get into the Word of God daily, it changes you. It reminds you of who you are, what your purpose is, God's plan for you. It refreshes your heart. It refreshes your mind, your spirit. It keeps you focused on the Lord. So remember, this is a battle that's happening in our heart and mind. This is an internal battle where the flesh, the sin nature within us, can be pretty loud and can be pretty demanding. Will we choose to submit to the Spirit of God, or will we cave and give in to our flesh? And when you're living that life in the flesh, it's really no secret. So we're in Galatians chapter 5. Paul says this in the next passage, starting in verse 19. The acts of the flesh are what? A little bit louder, Nate. They're obvious. You think sometimes maybe I've got like everyone fooled. Like the outside world thinks I'm holy, thinks I'm pious. Paul says, nope. When you're dead on the inside, eventually that's what's going to ooze out to the outside. The acts of the flesh are obvious. And so he gives us a list. We'll read through them here. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And again, if these are the sorts of things that are happening in your life, then Jesus isn't in charge of your life. God's Spirit is not at the helm. Jesus is not Lord. If this is what is flowing out of your life, you've got that battle going on, and I can pretty clearly tell you who has won. Your flesh has won. You have given in to your sin nature, to the sarks, and that is what is dictating, directing, and guiding your life. And just following this then, we have really one of the most well-known passages in all of Scripture. People know this far and wide, the fruit of the Spirit. This is in contrast to the acts of the flesh, the things we just read through. Here's what arises from someone who is yielded to the Lord, walking in the Spirit, seeking the Lord. So it starts in verse 22. Have you ever noticed that, by the way, that when you come to the fruit of the Spirit, it starts with the word but? I hear the fruit of the Spirit used often, and again, it's one of the most famous, well-known passages, but oftentimes we omit what comes before it. We're like, let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. Wait a minute, what's the but for? It's because of what we just read. It's because it is paralleled right next to what Paul calls the acts of the flesh. The acts of the flesh are all of these depraved things, but when the Spirit is in control, when the conflict and battle raging within you has been won by your choice to submit to the Spirit of God, and you say, Jesus is Lord, then this is what flows. So Galatians 5, starting in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, in other words, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And he says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And so what I want to do this morning is a deep dive into the verses we've just read that contrast the acts of the flesh and the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, rather. And just notice, these two are polar opposites of each other. So here's what I did. I just simply took the fruit of the Spirit and then I laid the acts of the flesh. So you notice that they are like exact opposites. The fruit of the Spirit is love. When the flesh is running the show, what is it? It's hatred. With Christ, we have joy. Our sin nature leads us into jealousy and envy. You know, we're discontent with what we have. We're angry about what we don't have. We envy others for what they do have. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. The acts of the flesh include discord. Spirit gives us patience. Our flesh leads us to fits of rage. And how many, no show of hands, please. How many just have some anger simmering and boiling just beneath the surface? We're disappointed. We're frustrated. We've been wronged by someone and we've chosen not to forgive, and so we're carrying around this sort of bitterness. We might not say it all the time, but everywhere we turn, we're critical of other people. We think the worst of everyone we encounter. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's saying, flesh is running my life. Flesh is in control. I'm not patient and merciful with people. And it just takes that one trigger. It just takes that one incident. And all of a sudden, the top gets blown off. And when that happens, a lot of times, the problem really isn't the problem. And we go, yeah, I don't know what was wrong with me there. You know, I shouldn't have reacted that way. You know, just have a lot going on. So continuing on here, on the one hand, with the fruit of the Spirit, the Lord brings kindness into our lives. On the other hand, our flesh pursues selfish ambition. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness, the acts of the flesh, sexual immorality, impurity, yes, even witchcraft. Like, do we celebrate things? Do we dwell in things that are dark, that are vile? Do we set those things before us? Or is our life characterized by goodness of God? The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. The flesh brings about factions in our human relationships where we're always splitting, we're always dividing. I can't fellowship there anymore. I can't associate with them anymore. And idolatry in our relationship with God, where he's not first. He's not the only one we worship. The life governed by the Spirit is filled with gentleness. The flesh leads us to dissensions, harshness toward others. We're like, I'm just going to let them know how I really feel. That person doesn't deserve my respect, so I'm just going to put them in their place. Again, giving full vent when you're angry. When you disagree, when you have a differing opinion, the gentle person, well, a gentle answer turns away wrath, Proverbs 15:1 tells us. But guided by the flesh, you just let them have it. It leads to, you're constantly dissenting everywhere you go. I disagree with that. Here's my opinion. Here's my view on that. And sometimes we want to be so loud that our opinion's the only one heard. And then finally, the Spirit gives us self-control. It's been said it maybe should more aptly be called spirit control. Spirit control. But our flesh shows no willpower to curb its appetite. It just wants pleasure. Just wants satisfaction. Debauchery, drunkenness, orgies. Jesus has similar teaching about what comes from the life in the Sermon on the Mount, right? So in Matthew chapter 7, he says the kind of fruit we bear really reveals who we are, what we're like. He says, by their fruit you will recognize them. All right? I wonder if Paul was influenced by that when he wrote Galatians 5 and says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. You can't give your sinful nature the controls and all of a sudden be like, but no, that's not me. I'm a follower of Jesus. Like, those things are obvious. Jesus says, you'll recognize them by their fruit. He says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? Jesus had a sense of humor, by the way. Apparently, even sarcasm. Do you pick grapes from thorn bushes? Do you pick figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. A bad tree can't bear good fruit, Jesus says. Every tree that doesn't bear good fruit, and this is ominous. This is the warning that Paul also talks about. Cut down and thrown in the fire. Thus you will recognize them. For their fruit, you will recognize them. So can I just get in your business this morning and ask you, what fruit is coming from your life? The people under your roof, the people in your neighborhood, the people in your workplace, the people in your core group, the people in our community. What's on display for them? And you might think, and sometimes we're prone to struggle with keeping up appearances, but what fruit are they truly, genuinely seeing? And the answer is directly linked to the battle between flesh and spirit. Not how well you've been hiding things, not how well you've been masking things, not how well you've been putting up a good front. The answer is directly linked to the battle that rages within your heart and mind between flesh and spirit. And have you, or have you not, crucified the sarks? And the life you now live in the body, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. That's the question. And the good news is that Jesus stands ready. He's eager and willing when you say, Jesus, I want you to be master. I want you to take away these desires of the flesh. He says, now I can get to work. He comes into your life in a very real way. You encounter him. You know him personally. You have a relationship with him. And through that relationship with Jesus, my friends, he gives you freedom over the desires of the flesh. I asked Lakota this morning, does that mean we're going to be free from facing temptation in this life? And he said, no. We're not going to be free of temptation. But temptation is an equal opportunity to do good or to do evil. And when Christ is Lord of your life, when temptation comes, you stand strong and you walk in victory. You have freedom because of Christ. But if you're anything like me, you're going to need some help. You're going to need some guidance. And so we're talking about a formula for having freedom over the flesh. It's serving others. It's seeking the Lord. And it's also surrounding yourself with helpers. Simply put, we need each other. We weren't designed to live alone. We weren't designed to live in isolation. That's why, by the way, at MCA, we are fully committed to this model of church where we're in core groups. And if you haven't yet joined a core group, let me just invite you again. Would you consider being a part of our public worship services, but then also joining with a core group where you can be cared for and be loved? So even today, I would invite you to stay for our second hour. Be a part of our Sunday school hour. We've got programming, we've got classes and activities for all ages, for the whole family. I'd like you to consider that. Would you be willing to say, you know what, I need to surround myself with helpers. I need people who will stand with me, who will encourage me, who will forgive me, who will help bear the burdens of my life. And that takes some humility. I'd like you to consider that this morning, because we want those to be places, those are places where we gather in smaller groups. You know, here in the sanctuary, we've got 300 plus people. This isn't the place for us to love each other and to have conversations, but in our core groups it is. We gather in circles and we talk and we pray and we share needs and we care for one another. Here's what the scripture says, Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. If you don't have people in your life, in your corner, in Christian community, authentic Christian community, and don't tell me I've got friends down at the bowling alley. I'm glad you've got friends down at the bowling alley. Go be a part of your friends down at the bowling alley. But I'm talking about authentic Christian community, brothers and sisters in Christ on mission together. If you don't have those people in your life sharpening you, I don't mean this as an insult, but you're probably spiritually dull. Because as iron sharpens iron, so we sharpen one another in the body of Christ. This is part of our formula for success. The battle is real in you and in me. The sin nature in the flesh rising up, wanting to take control, standing. How do we stand strong in the face of temptation? It's having accountability. It's having support from brothers and sisters, helpers. And again, it requires humility. Like, to do that, we've got to say, I am needy. And that takes a lot of courage. It takes authenticity to admit our faults, our wrongs, our weaknesses. But the Spirit of God, when you yield to the Lord, when that battle is decided and the flesh is crucified, will produce fruit every day. Every single day, fruitfulness, glory to God. Because the Word of God is powerful. And the Word of God will indeed help you deliver that knockout punch to the sinful nature. Friend, I want you to hear this morning. You belong to Christ. And I don't want anyone to be beating themselves up this morning. Like, you know what? The flesh led me astray. I fell again. I did wrong again. And again, Jesus says, you're forgiven. And again, Jesus says, you don't even have to go down that path. Come to me, all you who are weary. I'll give you rest. From that mental anguish of, I messed up again, and I'm condemning myself again, and I'm trapped in this prison. I'm enslaved to sin. I'm in bondage. And Jesus says, I want to set you free from that. You belong to Christ. So come to him again, even if that means crawling on hands and knees before the foot of the cross to say, Jesus, I messed up again. Will you have me back? And he says, yes. Remember the parable of the prodigal son? And he finally decides he's going to come home. And he's making his way through the field. And the father runs to him. What a picture of our Heavenly Father. He runs with open arms. He says, you're forgiven. You're my son. You belong to me. You're not going to be one of the servants. You're my son. Here's the ring for your finger. Here's the robe for your back. Here are the sandals for your feet. And we're going to kill the fattened calf. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God for you today. You say, I can't seem to win this battle on my own. No, you can't. But Christ can. Your flesh is powerful, but our God is even more powerful. So submit your life to Christ, and he will give you victory. Crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. And keep in step with the Spirit, as Paul encourages us here in Galatians 5. Serve others. Seek the Lord. Surround yourself with helpers who will spur you on as you walk in freedom. Let's pray together. Oh God in heaven, we humbly approach your throne of grace, recognizing our own sinfulness and our own weaknesses. God, thank you for your grace. Set us free, Lord, from the desires of the flesh. Where we have fallen, Lord, we pray that you would restore. Where we've been blinded, Lord, give us sight to see, that we would no longer be spiritually blind, but we would have eyes to see our own need and then your rescue plan through Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we choose you to be master, to be in charge, to be in control. Lord, help us to not indulge the flesh, but to crucify it and to choose you. May we walk by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, in relationship with Jesus, for the glory of God. Lord, we thank you and we honor you. We pray you would continue to do this work in us. To you be the honor and the glory and the praise. In the name of Jesus.